This week is going to be a little more, it's almost a continuation of that. This is kind of a drill down. It's connected in a lot of ways. This week we're going to be looking at what is faith that joins Jesus. Faith is probably one of the most used words when we're talking about God and our connection to Him. It's a big, important topic. It's central to how we join Jesus. It's central to our relationship with Him. It's central to really everything in life. And so we want to spend some time looking in a little detail at what that is. All throughout the New Testament, there are different kinds of faith mentioned, all sorts of descriptors about faith. So we know right off the bat that faith is not just a static thing. It's not just binary. It's just not you have it or not. There's explanations or things where Jesus and others mention great faith or weak faith or little faith or much faith, shipwrecked faith, abandoned faith. There's all different statuses that our faith can be in. See, it's not just enough to have faith. We should be shooting for great faith. And the good news is that wherever your faith is today, and we'll look at that, that's not in itself is not just a singular proposition, but wherever you find your faith today, it doesn't have to stay there. In fact, I guarantee that it won't, because faith is a dynamic thing. It shrinks and it grows and it moves and it expands and it contracts and it can be placed on different things. So today, to start, we're going to do two things. First, I want to give you a few truths about faith to help us understand what it is, what it truly is. And then we'll spend a little time looking at a few ideas, some path we can go down to grow our faith in our time today. So first, I just want to pause before we jump into Scripture for today and just invite the Lord to join us. God, we thank you for this day. God, and we thank you for the opportunity to sit under your word. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We thank you. We felt your presence this morning in our homes and wherever we are. God, would you speak to us through your word? Would you use this moment, this time, to touch each of our hearts? God, that we would stand up or walk out of the room when this is over, more connected and have a greater understanding of what it means to have faith in you. I pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. So a few truths about faith. What is faith that joins Jesus? We'll start with probably the most famous verse. It's our kind of the primary verse you look at when you're going for a definition. It's Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. So Hebrews 11 goes on, and the next several chapters is what we call the heroes of faith, where the writer just lists all of the Old Testament heroes and how it was their faith, it was their confidence in God executing his plan that earned them a good reputation. And so our working definition today, I want to give it to you just kind of, this is kind of the way I put it in my own head that makes sense to me is faith is confidence that God has the power, will, and intention to do a certain thing. The confidence that God has the power, will, and intention to do a certain thing. Now, all those words are significant that all of them affect our faith. Our confidence, obviously, is how certain we are about it. That God has the power, will, and intention. All of those are important factors. If we're missing any of them, there's a lot of times in our lives where we genuinely believe that God has the power to do something. We're just not sure if he has the will to do it. Does he really want it done? or the intention to do it. God's will, it's a good thing. God wants that, would want to have it done, but there's all these other factors, so I'm just not sure if he's going to do it. So our faith is affected by all of these things. And then this definition ends, the power, will, and intention to do a certain thing. And we'll talk more about that in a moment, but it's not just this obtuse generality. It's not a blanket faith. But the first statement I want us to look at a little bit is that when it comes to faith, a little dabble do ya. You probably heard that little phrase before. It doesn't take much. The New Testament especially shows us Jesus, one of his kind of key teachings he's constantly echoing, is how much little faith can have a huge impact. How it just takes, he even says, a faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Why is that? Just a little quantity of faith can do such an impactful thing. Well, to understand that, there's a couple factors. The first one is that there are two ways that something can be great, right? I'll give you an example. This is my phone. It's a computer, right? This is a computer. But I also have, let me show you something else. Oh gosh. This is also a computer. This used to power our database here at the church. It's been in the back room for a long time. It weighs more than my daughter. This thing is really, really heavy. This is a computer as well. Now, these two things are great in different ways. This one is great in its power. This has more processing power than this. It has more memory than this computer. It has a better access point. It has a longer battery. It has its own power source. In every conceivable way, except one, this is greater than this. This one is greater than this in only one way, and that is its size. This has more quantity of computer, but that has more quality of computer. See, there's different ways to have faith. I'm going to get rid of this. There. It broke. But we were never going to use it again. Greatness, there's different ways of having greatness. Great faith is amazing kind of great. It's this kind of great. It's not just big great. And that's why even a faith of a mustard seed can have such a huge impact. And we will see why this is in our next statement I want to look at, and that is that when it comes to faith, it matters who you put it on and what you put it in. Now, while it's true that just a little faith, a little dabble do you, can have a huge impact, the reason that is true is that the important issue, what's most important when we're talking about faith, is actually the object of our faith, not the quantity of our faith. James chapter 1 says that if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave on the sea is blown and tossed by the wind. Notice that James' warning that he gives here is about who you are believing on, not how much you believe. So the question for us is, the key factor is, what is our faith on? Do we have faith in ourselves to accomplish something in any given area? Is our faith, even as Christians, we'd say, no, I trust God. But at the end of the day, if we say, okay, well, why do you have faith? Why are you trusting? All of your reasons will be about your obedience. All of your reasons will be about what you're doing right that will earn what God is going to do. Is your faith in your faith? just in the fact that you really, really believe. And this one is very, we deal with this a lot in our culture. And this one is the difference between Christianity and positive thinking, New Age philosophy. This is, there's a lot of discussion and debate about this going on. There's a lot of accusations even amongst church that that you have this, that the people are kind of accusing each other if it's your New Age or not. If you're looking for a litmus test, even in your own life, this is a good one. What is your faith in your faith? Our faith should be, I believe it because Jesus said it, not I believe it so God will do it. Does that make sense? There's a difference. That's what, you know, when we say, I believe it so God will do it, if that's what our understanding, our desire, our belief of faith, if that's our concept of faith, one of my former teachers referred to that as Christian voodoo, really. Because what that is saying that I have, when you dress it up however you want, what it's saying is I believe I have the power to make God do something by my own belief, by my own action, by the fact that I believe this, I can compel the sovereign God to do what I want him to do. And that's just not, that's not Christianity, that's not reality. The truth is, I believe that God has the power, will, and intention to do a certain thing because that's what he has revealed. It's not just God will do this thing because I really, really believe he will. Listen, great faith will always bring you back to a focus on Jesus, will always turn your attention towards God, will always point you back to the Holy Spirit speaking into your life. If the way you are exercising your faith isn't doing that, then your faith may be on the wrong thing. It matters what you put your faith on. It's specific to various areas and situations in our life. Faith matters what we put our faith in. In what areas of your life do you have faith? This is what I would consider the difference between faith in God and dependence on God. For the sake of this series, dependence on God that we talked about last week is a kind of a general statement, a general status of our hearts that we are depending on God. Faith is the application of that dependence in specific areas. You can have faith in one area and not another. You can have saving faith. I can believe that, I can trust that God is my Savior, but not necessarily have the faith that he's going to provide for me in this certain area. You have specific amounts of faith for certain things. I have a lot of faith, just in my own life, personal example, I have a lot of faith that God loves me. I have a lot of faith that he has saved me. But if I'm honest, I have much less faith that he's happy with me. That he's content with our relationship. That when he looks at me, he is excited about what he sees. Now, that lack of faith on my part doesn't affect my eternal destiny. Doesn't make me any less a child of God. It doesn't make me any less saved. And it doesn't even affect the reality of how he truly feels about me. But it certainly has an impact on my present condition. I'm limited in my access. I am restricted in my ability to live like God is happy with me because I am struggling to believe it. Faith is specific. And so we need to understand that because if we think it's a general thing, if we think all our faith is the same, then we will miss areas that we are lacking in faith. Faith is also at its core a response to grace. Faith isn't a formula. Faith isn't even sourced in yourself. In the next chapter, we read Hebrews 11. In Hebrews chapter 12, writer says, starting in verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance. And then in verse 2, he goes down and he says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. We keep focused on Jesus because remember, he is the object of our faith. We keep our eyes on Jesus, the champion who, watch this, initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy waiting before him, he endured the cross. So Jesus perfects and initiates our faith. It's all about him. We just keep coming back to this whole series, that it's focused on him. Jesus created you. He loved you. He came to this earth for you. He set an example for you. He bled for you. He died for you. He rose again for you. He offered forgiveness before you even knew his name. And it was the power, the grace that Jesus extended to you that you responded to, or that you are now feeling compelled to respond to. See, faith is a response. Paul, in one of his, I think it's the letter to the Galatians, he challenges them on this because they were doing the same thing that we do. We come to Jesus, we are saved by his grace, we feel the invitation, we compelled, we ask for forgiveness, and we come into a relationship with God, and it's amazing. But somewhere along the lines, we say to him, in our actions, if not our heads, that's awesome, thanks God, I've got it from here. And that's not the way faith works. It will always be dependent on God. God will always be initiating it, and we will always be responding to the grace that he is bestowing on us. This never changes. It's by grace we are saved. It's by grace we believe. It's by grace we come to have confidence that God has the power, that God has the will, that God is intending to do the things in your life that you need him to do, that need done. And it's our response to that power, to that grace gift, that the word from God is faith. Faith is a response to grace. Now, you may be listening this morning and maybe thinking, that's great, Jeremy, but where do I go from here? I feel weak in my faith. And in general, maybe it's just, I'm just really struggling. Maybe the isolation over the last, I've lost track of the weeks, has really, really been affecting you. And you feel isolated or feel like you just don't believe like you used to. Or maybe it's in one specific area. Maybe it's something you've been trying to pray for in faith that you've really been struggling with. Or maybe this morning you're doing well, and if you and I don't have to convince you, I don't have to convince you that you want to pursue more great faith because it's contagious. There's nothing more settling, there's nothing more peaceful than having in an area of life than truly having faith in Jesus in that area. When we have true faith in an area, see, a lot of times we don't even know, we don't even necessarily need to know the outcome to have faith in that area. If you look at the Apostle Paul's life, so much of the time, one of the most faithful guys in Scripture, and so much of the time when you read his writings, it's like, he doesn't have a clue what's going to happen next. A lot of the time, he's like, I don't know if I was going to go here. Or he's writing a letter. Hey, I was trying to get to you, but this craziness happened and I had to go over there. But it never seemed to dissuade him or cause a lack of faith in the fact that God was in control. Because when our faith is in Jesus, the outcome is secondary. Now, that's not to say that there are not times we shouldn't ask for specific things or that God doesn't reveal specific answers and speaks to our hearts and speaks through situations and tells us, yes, in this area, I'm telling you, I'm going to do this. or this is what I want done. Of course he does. And that's amazing. And we should pursue that. But we don't have to get to that point before we have great faith, before we are confident in that area, before we can be at rest and at peace. I don't have to have the answer. I don't have to know what he's going to do to have trust in what he's going to do. Right? If I go to, just an amazing restaurant, pick your favorite restaurant. I love steakhouses, so you go to Smith and Walensky's, right? If I go to Smith and Walensky's and I sit down and I don't know who's cooking my steak in the back. I don't even know which steak I'm gonna order, but I am confident that I'm about to be full and happy, right? Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's coming out of there. I know I'm gonna eat it and I know I'm gonna love it. It's the same thing with the Lord. We want to be specific, but we don't have to have a specific outcome to have great faith. So how do we get there? How do we get to a place of great faith? Well, I came up with a little thing to help us today, and that is that growing faith is a laughing matter. It's a laughing matter. It's an acronym. Ha ha. I'm going to walk you through this. This is kind of a step-by-step kind of primer on how to grow our faith. It's very simple, but it's effective if we'll walk these steps. So ha ha. The first one, H, honesty. First step is we have to be honest about where our faith is, what it's in, what it's not in, what state it's in. Getting real honest about real specific areas. That's, remember, we talked about before. It's specific to different areas. We need to examine our lives. And Paul writes in Corinthians, he says to examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. To test ourselves. To see if in this area or that area, do I really have great faith? Do I really have a confidence in that specific area? See, we can't address a problem until we know it exists. And lack of faith in an area is a problem. That's a place where we are vulnerable. It's a place where we're not living the abundance of the life that God has for us in that area. So we have to start with honesty. We have to discover the areas that we need more faith in. So after we're honest, then we have to ask. It's about asking. We have to ask God for more faith. You know, there was once a man in the New Testament that was looking for a miracle from God, from Jesus. And Jesus asked him what he can do, and they have an exchange, and Jesus asked him if he believes. And the guy says, you've probably heard this before, he says, you know, I believe, help me in my unbelief. Our God loves us so much, and like we just said, our faith is a response to his grace. And he's so generous. He will provide more grace to increase our faith if we just ask. If we would just humble ourselves, if we would be honest and just say, God, this area, I'm really struggling to trust you. Maybe it's the COVID thing. I mean, it's more than a thing. Maybe you just really, it's you are fearful every time, just in general. You're just fearful all the time. And you're struggling to trust him in that area. We can ask him for more faith. We can ask him to grow us in that specific area. Listen, the act of asking in itself is an act of faith. Because it takes some faith to even ask to believe that there's a potential for more. So it's important that we ask. We're honest, we ask. And then this is, I think, the absolute crucial one. This is the one that I think we miss more than maybe any of the other ones, and that is hearing. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 13, Paul writes, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, everyone who has faith in the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard him? How can they hear unless someone tells them? How can anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news." And then if we skip down in verse 17, he sums it up and he says it this way, "So faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news of Jesus Christ." Listen, that good news about Christ in the Greek, it's rhema Christos. It's specifically talking about the spoken words about Jesus. Our faith comes from hearing the spoken words about Jesus. If you are lacking faith, you need to absorb, you need to surround yourself with the spoken words about Jesus. You need to be listening to the proclamation of the gospel. That's why we come on Sundays. That's why we do Bible studies. That's why we gather in churches all over the place. The proclamation of the gospel is where we hear the words about Jesus. It's the fuel that grows our faith. And it's not just information. When we talk about Jesus, it is not just a fact. It's not just learning 2 + 2, and once you know that 2 + 2 = 4, you don't ever need to, you know, I don't have flashcards in my desk where I pull out and, you know, go through 2 + 2 = 4, 4 + 2, because I already know that, right? Because that's just information. It's just things that I had to memorize, and I memorized them and I understand them, and then that's it. And the only time I have any thought about 2 + 2 = 4 is when I'm adding 2 + 2, right? That's not what this is. This isn't information. This is relationship. If I was married, well, I am married, but if I was talking to you and I told you I was married, and, you know, we get to talking, and you ask how my marriage was, and I say, "Oh, it's great. It's great. It's great." You know, once a week we get together for an hour and we have a great time. And you're like, "Well, what about the rest of the week?" Well, you know, she has her place and I have mine, and we get busy during the week. And, you know, but that hour is awesome. You would look at me like I was nuts. Why? Because that's not real. That's not a real relationship. It's the same thing here. The only way you can grow in our faith, the only way our relationship can grow, is by hearing the words, by having the conversations, by hearing others proclaim the gospel, by reading his words, by reading scripture. Did you know that, I've learned this in the last year, that reading is actually, scientifically, they consider it an auditory function. When you read something, your brain interprets it the same way as hearing someone speak. And so when we read scripture, we are literally hearing the words of God spoken to us. And it's a powerful thing. It's why we need to have conversations with each other that are actually about telling each other the stories of God's activity in our lives. I know that's exceptionally difficult in an environment where we're not supposed to get within 6 feet of each other, but we have the technology, right? We can build him. We have the technology. Our stories about God working in our own lives are important for each other to hear. Now that's hard because sometimes we don't want to come off like we're super spiritual or bragging or whatever. But it is a vital part of community with Jesus, with each other. We have to share those stories. It's important that when God acts and something happens that builds your faith, that you don't just hold that story to yourself. You need to share that with somebody else so that it can encourage their faith. because faith comes by hearing. And then the final thing is that action, quite simply, if you want more on that, read James, the book of James. That's kind of like the whole book. He's just saying, like, faith without works is dead. You've heard that phrase. Faith without works is dead. Because true faith will always result in an action, will always result in me doing something, a change in behavior, a change in thought pattern, a change in decision making, a change in the way we speak about or to people. Now listen, sometimes I think when it comes to action, though, at least for some of us, we're so hesitant to even pursue an act of faith because we're afraid we're going to get it wrong. We're afraid we're gonna mess it up. But listen, that God's not expecting perfection. I mean, He knows us. When do we ever get anything right the first time? God is a gracious God. You know, at the beginning of the message, we talked about Hebrews and how it's this kind of like hall of heroes of the faith, right? And he mentions all of these people and he talks so glowingly in this synopsis of David and Moses about how they lived these lives with unwavering faith and how it was credited to them towards righteousness, and they're immortalized in this kind of hall of fame of faith, right? Well, but think about some of those people. They weren't perfect by any stretch. I mean, there's murderers in there. There's drunkards in that list. There's people that, you know, we talked about, I think it was last week, we talked about Moses, how, you know, God said go, and Moses said no, right? He didn't want anything of it. Well, actually, he probably said something more like no, because his whole objection was that he couldn't speak well. But he objected. These are not things that you would associate necessarily with somebody who is a hero, an example of faith, but it's the reality, because action, God has grace for our lack of faith. Because again, it's not about your quantity of faith. It's about the quality and the power that He has to give us the confidence to act according to His will. We have to focus on it, though. It has to be something that we are intentional about. Faith doesn't just grow in areas by accident. It has to be something that we get honest about and realize that it's an issue and ask God to show us how to change our hearts, to change our minds. And we have to choose to hear His words so that we can be transformed. And then we have to step out and change the way we behave based on the change that's happened in our hearts from hearing His words. And if we create a lifestyle of that, what you'll see over time is a growing faith. Something that last year would have been unthinkable for you to have faith for or to believe in, now seems like, you know, just another day. But then there'll be more. There'll be another thing that you're like, okay, now this area, I'm really struggling. So we will always have areas of faith that we are struggling in. But that's a good sign. That's part of the role of the Holy Spirit in your life, is to always be showing you the areas, not so that you feel bad, but because he's the comforter. He wants to instill in you more faith, greater faith. He wants to grow your relationship with Jesus closer in that area so that it affects your life and that you can bring more glory to God and that you can have more abundant life and more peace and have more kingdom impact. So as we close today, I just want to encourage you to this week, take those four things that we just mentioned, and start with the honesty one. And if you would, take a couple of different times throughout the week. Doesn't have to be for a long period of time. And evaluate all the different areas in your life. Your different relationships, your work, your income, your finances, your health, the giftings God has given you. And take an honest evaluation. Where is my faith level in this? And what is my faith in this area on? You know, in my finances. You could say, well, I have pretty good faith. It's not a stress point for me. I really have faith. But the second question you need to ask yourself is, but why? Why do you have confidence? Is it because you know you're good at your job? Is it because you know that you just know that given the circumstances, the situation is good? Or is it because, well, I know that God has called me to this spot and that God is using me here and that He has put me here? Or I know that this is going great, but even if it doesn't, even if tomorrow they lay me off, I know that God is still in control. I know that He will lead me and He will provide for me regardless of the situation. See, that sort of mentality is a whole lot easier to develop before you get laid off than after. And if the Holy Spirit brings up any areas that there are some faith gaps, I would encourage you to start asking the Lord, start hearing His words as they apply to that area. Get proactive. And then ask the Lord for what action, or maybe it may, depending on what it is, it may just be obvious. What actions do you need to take based on this new level of faith? Let me pray for you before we go. Jesus, we thank you for today. God, we thank you that, God, you just provide everything for us. Even our faith is a result of your grace. God, would you speak to us this week individually? Would you show us areas that you want to grow our faith? God, would you reveal to us areas that maybe our faith is strong, but it's misplaced. It's not truly on you. God, would you speak to hearts this week as we pursue faith in you? Would you give us specific answers in specific areas that we would hear your voice and know more than ever before that in that area I have confidence, I have more confidence in God, confidence that He will and wants to and has the power to do this certain thing. That we may live lives that are based out of a confidence in you. Not in circumstances, not in our own abilities. Because all those things will fail. But God, we thank you that you never will. We pray all these things in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. You guys have a great week. We'll talk to you next Sunday. God bless.